Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm going to try to get some advice from our baseball guy, Todd Zielecki, in a second, Al, because I don't know how to react to all the Roy Halladay tributes that are being done, with the one provision being, how do I deal with how he died? Mm-hmm. I'm really having a hard time with it. And he, Al, he knew him better than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
He covered him for the whole time he was here with the Phillies. Our baseball expert from Clearwater, Todd Zielecki's on the line. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Angelo. How are you?
I'm fine. Todd, we heard this great story about Charlie Manuel going to watch Braden Halladay pitch and pitch well in this game of, I guess it was teenagers. What was that game that Braden Halladay was in?
It was like a junior national Canada team versus like a Blue Jay split squad team.
Right, and Charlie Manuel had made a promise during his eulogy that he would look over the guys and make sure, help them with their baseball careers. What was your reaction to that story when you heard it, Todd?
It was awesome. I mean, that really tells you the type of person that Charlie is. You know, a lot of great eulogies that day, a lot of really great memories being shared. But when Charlie said that, I was like, wow, this guy is going to fall through on it, and sure enough, he did. And I'm sure he's going to continue to stay in contact with Roy's kids and Roy's wife Brandy and but again, just great to see that type of support. That really does show you how much Roy meant to the organization, and Charlie and Roy were really close. I mean, I think Charlie might have mentioned a text message that Roy had sent him, trying to get him to come speak at an event, at a minor league event. At the Carpenter Complex in here in Clearwater, and they would joke with each other via text message. They like to spend time together. It was great.
Todd, here's what I'm wrestling with as a fan of Roy myself, and I thought Roy had it all. I mean, you can't ask for any more than what he gave in the time he played. But they're really, all the ceremonies, all the testimonials that are going on, are carefully avoiding the unusual circumstances in which he passed away.
Right.
And most people, the conclusion we have had based on what information we've been given, is that he was acting recklessly, that he had a cocktail of drugs in his body, and he was flying that plane in a reckless way, and he lost his life doing it. How do you reconcile that with the great player that he was and the great person he was all the years he was a Philly?
Yeah, you know, I read that report, the autopsy report and TMZ, and I think in that story they said it's not, the drugs that were in the system were indicative of somebody that was on prescription medications. Now, I do know that Roy suffered a lot of injuries towards the end of his career, serious back pain, et cetera. So I really can't speculate on what was going on there. Obviously, we know what the FAA was saying, that the plane was going up and down. But I think the way that people are kind of looking at it is, it's like anybody that dies in a very tragic way, maybe in a way that makes you scratch your head and wonder about the person or whatever, by and large, that guy was a really good person. And I think that was the case with Roy. Maybe he made some mistakes, at the end, certainly, there are the reports that indicate so, but that doesn't change the fact that this guy was a really good dad, a really good husband, a great teammate, and just a tremendous example for everybody in the organization. I mean, think about how much money this guy made in his baseball career, right? And he took a job as an assistant mental skills coach in the Phillies' minor league complex. And he wasn't just one of these guys that mailed it in and showed up for a couple hours a week just to get a paycheck from the Phillies. He was there from 9 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. He took these players out on fishing trips. He bought them. He would rent a limousine and take some minor leaguers that were by themselves to a Tampa Bay Rays game just so they could kind of feel like they were a part of something. I mean, this is a guy that really did it behind the scenes. So I think the people that were in touch with Roy remember those things more than, hey, why was he flying? Like, you know, why was he flying erratically? You know, just before his death and whatnot.
That's a great answer, Todd. The only thing I'm really, you covered him. Did you know he had this side of him that was thrill seeking, that was taking chances and stuff like that? Did you have any inkling that was part of him as well?
Well, obviously I knew that he loved flying and he loved planes. Mm. You know, he was flying a lot. You know, he loved cars. But in terms of how he flew, I mean, I had no inclination of how he flew or anything along those natures. But, yeah, certainly, you know, any of these pilots, these people that are learning to fly, it's a tremendous risk. I mean, yeah. You know, people forget years ago, Corey Lytle, Corey Lytle, after he got traded in 2006, crashed, you know, in New York.
Absolutely. All right. Now to the mundane. All right. Todd, mm-hmm. Again, I know I'm a broken record here, but all I'm seeing from Kingery is great. I understand.
Yeah.
Two more hits yesterday, 378 average. He couldn't be more ready to play in the big leagues. He played third yesterday and made a phenomenal play on a scoop and a throw. Todd, isn't it getting ridiculous for the organization to send him down when he's the best player in spring training right now?
I tell you what, I understand what you're saying. Scott Kingery to me, I was talking about this with a few people yesterday. You know, who's going to be stars on this team in a few years? And for me, it's Reese Hoskins and Scott Kingery.
Yep.
And I think I said this to you last week. If Scott Kingery is not a star in baseball, you know, in a year or two, I will be incredibly surprised. I think this guy is a total can't-miss stud baseball player. But I want that guaranteed extra year, Angela. If I'm the Phillies, I want April 13th. I do not call him up before April 13th. Now, when they call him up after April 13th, I don't know. But I do think it's telling that they gave him a start yesterday at third base.
Yeah.
I do think it's telling that they are going to give him more time at third base before the end of the spring training. Gabe Kapler talked with Scott Kingery before the game yesterday. He said, hey, where do you need to play more to feel comfortable? He said, well, if you want me to move around and play different positions, I really need to see more time in the outfield and more time at third base. And that is very interesting to me because we all know that Michael Franco has really struggled over the past couple of seasons. We all know that this is a make-or-break season for him. And I think in a short-term solution, I don't think Scott Kingery's career is at third base, but I think there are certainly scenarios where Michael Franco is struggling or is injured or whatever, and Scott Kingery moves over to third base and plays that position in the short term. So I think the Phillies are getting prepared for that possibility.
Todd, does it seem odd to you? You have just identified correctly the two building blocks for a great team of the future, Hoskins and Kingery, and both of them are currently being asked to play a position other than their first position. That
right.
seems weird to me because they are your future and you're moving them all over the place. Doesn't that seem like a bizarre way to do business?
Well, you know, this is the Phillies' outlook. You know, it was funny yesterday, Angelo, you were talking about Kingery moving to third base. They could have just kept him there the entire game, but they ended up then flipping J.P. Crawford from short to third and Kingery from third to second. Now, you know, just J.P. Crawford's going to be your everyday shortstop. Me, personally, I would probably just stick him there and have him play there as much as possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then also, hey, you just talked about Kingery needing to play as much time at third base as possible. Why not just leave him there the whole game?
Yes.
So I agree with you there. But this is an organization that really wants people to be versatile. I mean, and Hoskins moving from first to left, I will say this. Carlos Santana is a much better defensive first baseman than Reese Hoskins, and Hoskins is a serviceable left fielder. So I really don't have a huge problem with that. And again, if Kingery can come up and play third base this season, if Michael Franco is struggling, I'm all about it because, like I said, I think Scott Kingery is giving me an absolute stud.
All right, finally, Todd, I love Pat Gillick because there's no one like him. Hey, he goes there inducting him into the Wall of Fame, and he takes this opportunity to announce that the Phillies will not compete this year. Todd, No one does it but Gillick.
How does Dade feel about that?
That's what I want to know. I mean, this guy comes in and they're saying we're going to play significant games in August and September. And he's going, nah, it's going to take at least another year. What was your reaction to that? And what was the Phillies' reaction to it?
That was classic Pat Gillick. You know, he's very, very honest.
Yeah.
I really don't think the front office had too much of a reaction about it. I think they might have just said, you know, but I really don't think they – I think they defer to Pat Gillick, let me put it to you this way. Now, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. If, you know, we've talked about, like, the analytical projections of the Phillies' win total. It's anywhere between 74 and 78 before they signed Jake Arrieta. So it maybe add three or four more wins there, and now you're, you know, low 80s possibly on the high side. So – yeah, it's possible that the Phillies, you know, don't compete this season. And he's got reason to think that because, hey, maybe Jorge Alfaro doesn't hit. Maybe Nick Williams doesn't hit. Maybe J.P. Crawford hits .215 and doesn't hit. You know, maybe the rotation continues to struggle. So there's a very real scenario where this team, you know, finishes in this 74-78 win total. But there's also a scenario where these guys do click. You know, Kingery comes up at some point. You know, Velasquez or Pivetta figure it out, and they are on the outside of that wild card race, and Matt Klentak is in position to acquire somebody before the July 31st trade deadline. But basically what Gillick has said is what I've been saying. You know, they're a high 70s, maybe a low 80s team with the opportunity to be a little bit better than that.
He's being less optimistic than you are. Not compete means not contend for the playoffs, Todd. And if you're at 81 or 82, you're contending. Doesn't mean you're winning, but you're in it.
He's more pessimistic
than you are.
Well, I was saying 74, 78, low 80s.
You're playing games with the numbers now, Zalecki.
No. If you're only winning 75, 78 games, you're not competing for the postseason. You know, you're not.
But 82 is. 83 is.
82, 83 is on the high side. On the high side of that with Jake Arrieta, you would think that they would be able to push at that number. So I just think Gillick is being honest. It's an honest assessment. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the Phillies in that clubhouse, they believe that they're going to compete. But I think if you really take a step back, you say they're going to be better. But they're going to need some things to really go their way to really get into that wild card race this season.
Okay, but Todd, understand, I check on these things. There wasn't a sudden surge of ticket sales after the Gillick remark.
No, there were not.
That's all I'm saying.
No, there were not. You're right about that, Angelo.
Todd Zalecki. Todd, great stuff. Thank you very much, Todd. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Todd Zalecki, I loved his explanation of the holiday thing. It was really cool the way he kind of put it all together, but I'm still going to struggle with it. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.